meals for every single meal of my life. It takes some self-control.
We don't have Bojangles out here, and it makes me so sad.
No, they don't cross the Mississippi now.
I know.
Biscuits and chicken, both are always on point.
Ugh, you're making me so hungry. Stop.
Oh, yeah. I guess we are getting close to your dinner time.
Yeah, before I start salivating and... you know, going out to get Raising Cane's or something. Let's just jump into the show.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah.
Our pessimistic prediction didn't end up going that way.
No, it did not. It's going to be an optimistic podcast this evening.
Back to back. Who would have thought?
Seriously. Let's do the whip around first. We are now through 25 weeks in La Liga, 13 to go. And whew, more controversy this weekend, Rob. We start on Friday where Espanyol and Huesca played out a 1-1 draw. Esteban Granero scored a really nice free kick in this one for Espanyol. Huesca are still rooted to the bottom of La Liga. On Saturday, Getafe 2-1 winners over Rayo. Getafe are fourth. They're fourth in the table.
Unbelievable.
They're
Matthew Flamini led Getafe.
Screaming and pointing his heart out. Yes, he is leading Getafe into the Champions League places.
Tackles. That's all he does.
Sevilla 2, Barcelona 4. Not too surprising in the end. Leo Messi did what he usually does to Sevilla. Scored a hat trick on him, set up another goal. Alaves and Celta played out a goalless draw. Athletic 1, Eibar 0. Guess who scored in this game, Rob?
I actually don't know. Is it Iñaki Williams? No, it was Rulo. Oh, of course
it was. Our old pal Rulo in the first minute. 1-0.
That's classic. He would have loved that result.
Athletic, meanwhile, are up to 10th. They are just 4 points off a Europa League place. So they've really improved under Garitano. They're playing much better. On Sunday, Leganés 1, Valencia 1. That's their 15th draw of the season. They're fourth in a row. But somehow, they too are just 4 points off a Europa League place. Go figure. Valladolid 0, Betis 2. Valladolid, they are just 3 points off the drop now. They have one win from their last six. Home form not looking so good anymore. And finally, the late game Sunday, controversy. Levante 1, Real Madrid 2. Casemiro, that second penalty, was he kicked? Danny Carvajal thinks he heard it.
Yeah, because that's what determined what's a foul is.
Yeah, he was not kicked. Spoiler alert.
No, he wasn't.
No,
he wasn't.
And Gareth Bale scored the ensuing penalty, got really angry, and now that's a whole thing in the Madrid press. So Real Madrid got the win. And finally, the Monday fixture was Girona 0 and Real Sociedad 0. The classic 0-0 that helps neither team. It sort of helped Real Sociedad. They are now in 8th, just 2 points off the final Europa League place. And they're next on Atleti's schedule.
Yeah, and they must be loving being above Athletic for so long this season. I mean, after Athletic have poached most of their players, they just keep on hanging out above them.
I think they're unbeaten in their last, what is it, 10 now? Yeah, they haven't lost in 10.
Yeah, and they've got a better goal difference than the two teams above them, so that may tell you that they're a little bit better than where they are.
Yeah, so that will be a very tough game for Atleti, but we're not going to preview that on this week's pod since it's only Monday. Let's circle back to Sunday and talk about Atleti's 2-0 win over Villarreal. For the first time in nearly 5 years, Atletico have won a home match against Villarreal.
Pretty unbelievable. I have now many memories of very terrible matches against Villarreal. I guess it makes sense that this season they're so bad as compared to in recent years, but even still, it was a good performance.
There was a time where I thought Villarreal could be in Tercera and they'd still beat Atletico 1-0.
It's like the old Levante curse. I mean, some teams just have it out for you like that.
Apparently, what it takes is put them in 18th and you will beat them. Amazing.
Shocker.
Anders Sorensen on our Patreon page says, "Hi guys, after Atletico went up 1-0 against Juventus, we did not set up shop but kept hammering away at them. We haven't done that much in recent years. Do you think this is a new line from Simeone after dropping some points earlier this season? Or do you think he just smelled blood in this match against Villarreal?"
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago about how Simeone's evolutions are very slow. So it would make sense that this is kind of an incremental change. He's never going to go all out attacking, but it makes sense that now no longer he realized that Atleti can't really hold on to 1-0s anymore. The defense isn't that good anymore. So I think it's the right idea. Atleti give up a bit more chances now, but I think with the attacking players they have, it just makes things better.
Well, Oblak is still that good.
Yeah, he's still pretty good.
Yeah, Villarreal's two biggest chances from Ekambi in the 9th minute and Mario Gaspar in the 32nd minute. Combined, they were 0.75 XG. Oblak saved them both.
He certainly did. The Ekambi one was big because that was quite early on in the match, 9th minute, as you said. And yeah. It wasn't the most difficult save in the world, but I think it was very important for the state of the match at that time.
Yeah, both of those saves were critical. Because I think the second one was directly after the Morata goal.
Yeah.
And boy, what a huge pegging back that would have been if Villarreal had equalized. All the fatalism would have come back, as it were.
Almost certainly, yes.
speaking of Morata, well, he's at it again, Rob. We have to talk about him again. Finally off the mark, he's opened his Atleti account with a really nice little goal here, assisted by Felipe Luis. He did the VAR celebration, hand up to the ear, forming the VAR square, as it were. he's finally got his first goal, and it had been a long time coming. It's not unfair to say that.
Yeah, I was honestly thrilled for him. He totally deserved it, because he, whatever you think about the decisions that went against him, it sucks no matter what. So I'm sure that was great for him. And I mean, I thought he played excellently in this game. I think he's really adapted to this team in a positive way.
He's very, very quickly too. We had some doubts over how quick this would be, considering his form at Chelsea and just the peaks and valleys his confidence in particular goes through. Two shots, both of them on target. He won four more headers. That's becoming a theme. He tracked back very diligently. He put in a lot of hard work, and only 26 touches, but he got a goal out of it. And he looks like he's developing chemistry with Izzy.
Yeah, and I think, more importantly, he looked really good with Griezmann. I think Griezmann had kind of a quiet game, but I think the two of them combined well when they had the opportunity to.
Yeah, they did. Only 57 minutes, too, for Morata before he was replaced by one Diego Costa. You know what this game told me? Honestly,
it's just, we don't have a bad subs bench.
It's just how dang talented this team is. Like, it dawns on you in games, like in certain games, that how good a certain team is, or how much talent on paper, the name power a certain club has. This was one of those for me. I don't know why it just clicked for me on Sunday, but this is a really talented team.
Where they can I had the same kind of thought, to be honest with you, because I was thinking about this compared to the title team. I mean, the backup to Costa was David Villa, who's, of course, excellent, but Atleti only got him because Barcelona were being stupid. And after that, it was, what, Adrian Lopez? Like, that team was, like, had some warriors in it, but not a huge amount of talent. So I think this team, especially up front, is just load it and bring Diego Costa off the bench. Not bad.
Yeah, that's a luxury to bring Costa off the bench. Angel Correa didn't have to play. Tomas Partey, who could play pretty much anywhere in La Liga or the Premier League, he came in off the bench. And Vitolo only got 1 minute in this game. We know where Vitolo, the quality he possesses, he just doesn't really get much time in this team. But that's in part because of the options. Cholo went with Koke and Rodri, essentially Koke and Rodri in the middle, with Saul and Thomas Lemar on either side of them. Koke and Saul kind of interchanged a bit during this game. Interestingly enough, they had the same passing accuracy and the same amount of touches.
I love it.
Interesting.
I loved this midfield, watching this match. I really liked this four. I think they worked really well together. I think having Saul and Koke able to switch out and change positions is a really nice luxury, and it gives Atleti a little something different.
Yeah, and I think the passing figures in this game as well, definitely something else I noticed. Atleti completed 87% of their passes team-wide. They never do that. Just yeah. That's very rare. Santiarias was at 90%. Sal and Koke were at 89%. Rodri was at 96%. Tomas Lemar was at 97%.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, I think the most impressive one, as usual, is Rodri, because he played all 90 minutes at 96% passing accuracy. Is unreal.
And I've given Lemar some stick over the course of this season, as you know.
Yes.
I've been kind of hard on him, but he played, I think, very, very well over the hour that he got. Again, 97% pass accuracy, completed 4 dribbles, was only caught offside once, pressed like a maniac again. I mean, he is offering value despite not offering much end product, which, again, is a little disappointing, more than a little, considering the fee that Atleti paid for him. But there is still value there, and he played a really, really solid game on Sunday.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess at times when you have players like Griezmann and Morata, you don't necessarily need every attacking player to have a stormer, but I think he's contributing in ways that are very important to the team. Like you say with the pressing, I mean, he is a pressing machine, and it's no wonder he keeps getting subbed off, because I'm sure he's shattered after every match.
Yeah, because his role is still not really that well defined, because we'll have games like this. And I'll bet you next week it'll be a very different game, because Atleti will be away at Anoeta. It should be a very physical, intense game against a team that's in good form. We will probably see a totally different Tomas Lemar. But this Lemar was pretty good, and you understand why he's not falling into the same traps that Nico Gaitán fell into, that Yannick Carrasco fell into, that some of these guys who never even played for Atleti, Diogo Jota, unknowingly fell into. Is that Lemar works hard. He works much harder than those guys did.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting kind of the positioning he's taking up, because, you know, he's listed as being on the left, but a lot of times he comes centrally, often kind of alongside Griezmann, both below the striker, which I think is quite an interesting pairing, those two just behind a striker. I mean, that's pretty dangerous if you have those two guys there.
I mentioned Saul a minute ago, and he had a really, really good game. One of his best of the season, I think. Look, this team is simply better when he plays in a more advanced position. It's just a fact, I think.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's going to work hard. We know this. But when you give him the opportunity to get forward more often than he would, say, left back, then he can be really dangerous. I mean, his shots are mostly going to be from outside of the box. It's what he does, but he has so much technical quality that if you give him a chance, like they did at the end of the match, then he can take it.
He's just a beautiful lob, and I don't really know what Victor Ruiz was doing. Just kind of watched it go into the net there, but I'll take it.
I think he got confused by how good that Diego Costa pass was.
Oh, yeah.
Diego Costa is an underrated passer, lest we forget.
He's had a few really nice assists since his return. This was arguably the nicest one. This long ball was right on the money.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And Victor Ruiz just kind of, he just kind of watched it. Maybe he thought it was going to go off the bar, perhaps, but no, it was nestled in beautifully behind Asenjo.
Yeah, it was a bit of a train wreck. I mean, the match was kind of done at that point, but I think that cooled a lot of nerves, I think.
Yeah,
I think they were really down on confidence by that point. I mean, they're in the relegation zone. They've been struggling all season. It's not really surprising.
I mean, I was still nervous at 1-0. I was. I mean, Villarreal didn't play a bad game, at least going forward they didn't. Defensively, you kind of understand why this team is 18th in the table. They are a mess at the back, Rob.
Yeah, and, I mean, Ekambi and Baca both had chances up front, but I don't know. I mean, Carlos Baca kind of looks like he's about done at this point. I mean, the two chances I thought he had that were fantastic, he just waited far too long to take the shot, and it ended up getting blocked. So, yeah, I mean, they're struggling. But their midfield, I think, is really nice. But outside of that, it's kind of like, ooh. So,
yeah,
I think Chukwueze is good and Gaspar is good, but, man, that defense is not so good.
And they were able to bring Pablo Fornalsen off the bench. That's pretty nice to be able to do that. Gerard Moreno as well. He's had a disappointing season, but he's, you know, in theory, still a very nice player. Yeah, that midfield looked pretty good. I mean, Santi Caceres was Rodri's replacement, and he looked pretty good over his 75 minutes or so. Santi Cazorla, we know how good Santi is. He played really well. It seems like he's the only standout most weeks when Villarreal play. And Vicente Iborra, who has made a return from Leicester.
That worked out well.
No, it didn't. Yeah, he's a veteran of La Liga. He's got a lot of know-how.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of roving, blow-you-up kind of midfielder guy. I mean, he's not the most interesting player in the world, but he's solid.
Hey, it's not a bad midfield, but you have... Basically, what they did was they ran a 5-3-2, where you had Mario and Alfonso Pedraza kind of bursting up the wings. So that left Victor Ruiz, Alvaro Gonzalez, and Funes Mori kind of to deal with the battering rams of Morata and Costa and kind of tracking wherever Griezmann was going to be. It didn't go well for those three.
Yeah, and I mean, I actually thought the change made by Javi King. Yeah, it was actually quite good when he took off Funes Mori for Chukwueze. I thought at that point they really had to go for it.
He was.
They're already 1-0 down.
He was pretty bad, Funes Mori.
He's not good. I mean, he wasn't good when he was at Everton either, so it's not super surprising. But Villarreal have had some good center backs in recent years, so it's a bit of a step down for them.
Yeah, Victor Ruiz has always been pretty good. He just hasn't really had much support next to him. And Sergio Asenjo is a really good goalkeeper, but he's had his injuries, and he's got a defense that really isn't that good anymore. And yeah, this is a team that's in trouble. Villarreal they're hurting. I mean, Atletico put up 7 shots on target against them. That's more than Atleti usually put up. I think the midfield battle went to Atleti in the end. It looked pretty tight early on, but I think in the end Atleti were pretty clearly better in midfield.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And yeah, possession, Atleti just edged it out 51-49. So Villarreal had a little more of the ball than I think they would have liked as well.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe Atleti's kind of more possession-based approach in this game. I thought they did a much better job of keeping the ball, and I think that's why we saw such high passing percentages, because there were a lot less just kind of hopeful long balls and more kind of control build-up, which I personally enjoy watching a bit more. But, you know, whatever, to each their own. But I think Villarreal really could have used a result in this game to sort of give them a kick up the butt and get out of that relegation fight.
I mean, we were both expecting it.
Yeah, exactly. We were both anticipating a reaction. And, I mean, they played all right. I mean, I think especially in the first half they were all right, but they definitely faded as the game went along.
Yeah, they did. Anders has a second question for us over on patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. How do you see the roles of Morata and Costa for the remainder of the season? Both have looked very good, but will there be room for them both?
It's a good question. It is a good question, and I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, Simeone clearly likes both of them. I mean, he's admired Morata for a while and knows Costa well. But, I mean, I think it may depend on the matches, but the two of them, I mean, the problem is you don't really get her. You want one of them alongside Griezmann, I mean, unless you're just going full battering ram.
It's interesting because I think Costa's starting to find form too. I think the last couple of games he's been quite good.
He is.
And that could... It doesn't create a... It creates a nice problem. But hey, if Morata and Costa both continue in this fashion, then it's going to be tough. I've been on record as saying I would prefer Morata for the rest of the season to start next to Griezmann, but... It's a tough question.
I would agree with that.
Because it could really come down. It could come down to matchups. It could come down to an injury here, or you know, a yellow card there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Morata adapting so quickly to this team is really going to play to his advantage. I mean, I think if we had seen a slow adaptation like we have with Vitolo over the last couple of years, then we may have more concerns. But I think the fact he's come into this team and worked so well straight away. Really makes it a tough competition. So hopefully that spurs both of them on to start banging in the goals.
Poor Nikola Kalinic, man.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get in the team anytime soon.
That poor guy.
Yeah, we're out of the Copa, so he's definitely not going to play.
Had that stretch in November, December where you thought, okay, yeah, maybe he is a good third option. Sure, and now he's not even in the matchday squad anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's never going to pick him over Correa. That's never going to happen.
But he does
maybe he can get in the squad over Vitolo. Who knows?
He does have a Twitter account now, though.
Oh, good. Yes. The most important thing.
Yeah, he's
having a Twitter account.
He's going to be using Twitter a lot, I think, because he's not going to play much the way things are going.
On the bench, tweeting, liking tweets.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't Kalinic in the game?
Kind of what Jelson's doing over at Monaco.
Yeah, well, that too. He may be doing like what we're doing, retweeting all those Monaco tweets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not bitter or anything, but Jelson's out here scoring a goal every other game at Monaco. Again, I'm not bitter.
But, I mean, at the same time, even though it's kind of irritating to see him doing quite well and the fact he didn't get a chance at Atleti, I'm glad he's at least somewhere playing rather than just rotting away on the bench.
Yeah, at least there's that.
Yeah, so hopefully it works out and he has a future at Atleti. I mean, it's not like they can look at this loan spell and be like, damn, you weren't really trying, Chilson.
And I'm not sure if there's a chance that Monaco can get him permanently. Like, if there's, I can't remember if there was a clause inserted into that loan. If there was, though, I don't know. Considering that Atleti got him for free, it might be tempting to make a 20, 30, 40 million euro profit on him.
Especially if they could wash their hands of any potential legal issues.
Yes. I mean, Monaco have won 3 out of 4 since he joined. He's scored in 3 of those games. Again, I'm not bitter.
They've won 3 out of 4, which is also half of their wins this season.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know.
Almost as if
let's hope they're in Ligue 1, otherwise they won't be able to afford it.
That's true.
I think they're going to be out of it.
Yeah, he won't want to stay.
No. I mean, you know, they signed Falcao and James Rodriguez when they just came up, so you never know.
Yeah. That was a wild time when they were just coming up.
Yeah, back when they used to spend money, that was pretty exciting, even though it cost us Falcao.
Yeah. We still wish him the
best.
He's
still pretty good.
We still love him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about La Liga for a second here. Just kind of where things are at with 13 weeks to go. Do you feel like La Liga's this is how it's going to stay? Things have kind of settled down quite a bit as far as the top three are concerned?
It seems like it, doesn't it? I mean, with Real Madrid 9 points clear fourth, it's like, well, you don't really anticipate they're going to drop more than, 6 points before the end of the season, really. So, yeah, I think the intrigue now is what teams qualify for Europe after the top three.
I mean,
which is kind of unfortunate.
And there are plenty of options there. I mean, Getafe are fourth. Sevilla, Alaves are fifth and sixth, respectively. Between fourth and tenth, there's only 6 points separating fourth from tenth. So,
which is nuts.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting and everything. So that's neat. But as far as the top three go, I mean, those spots are pretty much locked in. Atletico are now 13 points clear of Sevilla in fifth with 13 weeks to go. They've essentially locked up the Champions League again for next year, which will make it, let's see, I think 7 years in a row of Champions League football under Cholo.
Yeah, that math seems right.
Yeah, that'd be 7 years in a row, which is...
Yeah, because 12-13 was the first one.
Was it 12-13 or 13-14?
12-13, because they won Europa the year before. Right? Or no?
No, yeah. they were in Europa 12-13. They lost to Rubin Kazan that year.
Oh. But then why weren't they in the Champions League? Because they won the Europa League in 12.
Wasn't that before that rule was, like, instituted?
It might have been.
I think it was the year...
I might be reverse engineering the rule.
Yeah, literally the year before. Yeah, 13-14 was the first year.
Okay.
Yeah, so
and they made the final, lest we forget.
Yes, how could we forget? I'm not crying. You're crying. So that would be the seventh year in a row in the Champions League under Cholo, which is a remarkable achievement considering where this club was before he took over. 13 points clear is a pretty hefty lead. I think 538's given them a 98% chance to qualify, so... That's the objective. Objective has virtually been reached already. But there's just not really much to look out for from an Atletico perspective. I mean, from a La Liga fan perspective, there's a lot to watch still, particularly with who ends up in the European places, the final three European places. But as far as Atletico are concerned, it's a matter of are they going to finish second or are they going to finish third? No one's going to catch Barca. I think that is clear now after watching what Messi did to Sevilla on Saturday. It seems pretty clear to me that no one's going to catch them. I mean, sure, Madrid could beat them in the Clásico next weekend. But then that could open things up. But if Barcelona don't lose that game, then I think we can call this all over.
Yeah, and I don't anticipate that they'll lose that game.
Barca usually play well at the Bernabeu.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I think the Atletico-Barcelona match will be fun. I mean, those are always fun and stressful. So, I mean, the biggest thing to look out from that point of view is, can Cholo beat Barcelona? And that would be nice.
Yeah, that's a whole 6 weeks away still, unbelievably.
Yeah, that's not till April.
Yeah, April 7th, I think, is that game. But yeah, the Clásico, I think, is really the last chance saloon if we're going to get a title race here. If Barca drop points or lose that game and Atleti go to Anoeta and beat La Real on Sunday, then things could open up a little bit again. But
then, they'd need Barca to drop 4 points. And I don't know, I'm not super optimistic about that happening.
Yeah, Barca have lost only twice this season, and like I mentioned, they usually do play pretty well at the Bernabeu. So it'll...
And they pulled it back from the brink so many times already this season.
Yeah, there's still a chance that this does become something, but it's pretty slim. And if Barca get a draw or a win at the weekend, yeah, it's probably just about wrapped up, especially since Atleti's primary focus appears to be on the Champions League anyway.
And I think, as it should be, really. I mean, I think on La Liga, it's like, don't let anyone get seriously injured and just kind of be fit for the Champions League, which is kind of sad, but at the same time, I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, the top three is pretty much set in stone. Atleti are 13 clear of Sevilla and 11 clear of Getafe. It's going to take something really monumental for them to fall out of the top three.
Yeah.
So I don't think
that'll happen.
There's really no concern there. I think they're safe enough in their positioning to where you can afford to... Well, Cholo is not going to rest anybody, but you can afford to kind of take it easy in the league games that are coming up.
Yeah, less stressful minutes, maybe for the best. They don't have to worry about a title challenge.
You've got La Real away on Sunday. The week after is Leganés at home. The week after that, Atletico go to San Mamés. That's right after the Juve game. That's a tough little back-to-back, going to Juventus, then going to Athletic. That's tough,
potentially. Not ideal.
No, not ideal. And then I think you have the international break.
Yeah. Oh, great. Those are back again.
It's been long enough, Rob.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, I think that Leganés match is a nice little warm-up before Juventus, especially a home game, is quite nice. But yeah, going to Athletic after that will not be the most easy thing in the world.
No, especially with all the energy that's going to be expended in Turin.
He may rest players for that one, just because of what that Juventus tie might take out of them.
Yeah, for Leganés at home, with a team that Leganés are probably safe at this point, 7 points clear of the drop, they're probably safe. So, I could see,
I think so,
maybe a couple guys getting rest or getting pulled early, like Koke may come off early, but for La Real, this weekend, I think Cholo's going to go full tilt.
I mean, there's no reason not to.
No, because there's a chance, especially with whatever happens in the Clásico, there's maybe a sliver of hope, maybe a chance that the race reopens.
Yeah, just get the 3 points and see what happens.
Yep.
So, I mean, the main focus is absolutely always on the Champions League now. I mean, I think with the final and everything surrounding it, I think they're going to be majorly going for it.
As they should.
Yes, hopefully.
And it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for the title race to be reopened.
No, it'd be fun. It'd be more interesting.
But, yeah, in terms of it opening up again, I don't know how motivated Atleti will be considering the Champions League objective is very, very prominent this season.
Yeah, and especially the good feeling that first leg against Juventus generated. I think this team now sort of believes in themselves a bit more.
As they should. That was a pretty... not to belabor that game, but that was a pretty great display.
It was pretty excellent. Yeah. Another shout out to the hero, one of the heroes of that game, Jose Jimenez. I thought again played brilliantly against Villarreal.
Love you, Jose Ma. Yeah, he was great again.
Yep, he's awesome.
Last question. Do you have this nagging feeling that Cristiano is going to go and score a hat trick and Atleti are going to get knocked out?
Somewhat concerning, yeah. Although I was kind of more concerned he was going to do that in the home leg. I felt instant concern after I laughed at him boofing the header in the first leg that I knew it was going to come back to haunt me, so I'm just not going to think about it. That's my solution.
Yeah, I don't know. Call me crazy, but I have this nagging feeling, like that chill you get in the back of your neck sometimes when you feel guilty. Mm. Like, I have this odd feeling that is still possible, even with a 2-0 lead, even with this team's defensive record, that this isn't done yet.
Well, he can score a hat-trick. I'd let you just get the away goal. That's fine. That can happen.
I would take that.
I would be fine with it.
But I'm nervous about losing 3-0 on the night and 3-2 on aggregate, and then that would just... We probably wouldn't do a pod for the rest of the season.
That would be a really, really rough pod.
Because what's the point?
I don't know.
I might actually drink on air if that happens.
Well, all right. Well, we'll have a deal then. Yes. If that happens, then we'll have the... And that can just go on Patreon, so all of our anger doesn't have to go out to the masses.
Yeah. You're right. Let's not think about that.
Yeah, it's just best not to worry about.
All right. Well, on that sort of unhappy note, we're gonna wrap this baby up. Rob, thank you so much for joining me on this rather optimistic edition of Colts Narrow Chat.
A pleasure.
Follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. That's RWALK03. Follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. That's JBBERen. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. And you can like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this very program on your favorite podcasting platform that includes Apple Podcasts. And become a Colts Narrow Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat. Get guaranteed answers to your questions, should you have them, like Anders did tonight. We'd be glad to answer them on the air. patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat. We'll be back next week. Until then, adios.